Back to the meeting, come to order, please. Roll call, please.
Mr. Barnes? Mr. Hatmo? Mr., Councilmember Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Holly?
Here.
Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kupczynski?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis? Mr. Burke? Ms. Walter?
Here.
Vice Chair Neff?
Here.
Chair McHale?
Here. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. We'll stand now for a silent prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll open the floor now for public comment for items which are not on tonight's agenda.
Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue, just a quick question. The parking plan for 68 First Avenue, was that ever resolved? The approval was made pending the parking plan.
Where are we at?
I don't recall offhand if they've achieved resolution compliance. If you want to send a note to the board and myself in the form of an email, I can look at it when I have the file in front of me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Anyone else? Or do we have anybody online?
There is one person online.
No hands up.
No hands.
Thank you. Next item, pending litigation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to report that there is none.
Excellent. Excuse me. Next item of the business, subcommittee formation for ordinance review. We discussed at the last meeting that our ordinances are, in some cases, antiquated, really haven't been revisited in a generation almost. And it might be a good idea for the board to establish a subcommittee with the goal of identifying some of our existing ordinances and coming up with ideas of how they might be updated, fixed, what have you. So I think we'll look for 3 volunteers. This doesn't also have to be resolved tonight. We're missing a couple people as well, so if, you know, I can also send those out to those who aren't here, but I can just have a show of hands if anybody's interested now.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Right, we have 3, so.
We're still pursuing. Jeez, that's a problem.
Okay, so that's wonderful. So
thank
now,
you.
We'll,
you snooze, you lose, John. You don't show up.
Hey,
you don't just be on the
team. That's it. So, you know, in terms of guidance, you know, we discussed, you know, towards the at the end of the year, Mr. Stein will put together a report, obviously a lot of our experiences here on the, you know, just participating month after month, you know, we are exposed to a lot of things. So, you know, between now and next meeting, maybe we'll set up dates and, you know, maybe establish some, goals to shoot for in the upcoming year. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would be happy to speak to Mr. Ferragina, borough administrator, about if we can engage Doug and his team from CME talk for some professional guidance as well.
For sure, yeah.
So we could make sure you guys have everything you need to look very closely at this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'd be helpful, certainly Mr. Sag's report at the end of the year, but then, right, like you were saying, Chairman McGoldrick, to have meetings beforehand so we can kind of talk about what our expectations are, bullet it, and then figure out a way. It'd be great to have professional guidance included in that.
Yeah, for sure.
Game plan.
Mr. McGoldrick, can you make sure how I'm speaking so I might end up the...
Yes, I actually forgot to say that in the beginning, to make sure that we're all the microphones, we're all speaking in the microphones, and the people in the back of the room can hear us all, and online as well. All right, well, I do appreciate it. It's already a heavy time commitment on all of this, and that's an even further commitment, so I'm very grateful. I appreciate it. Anybody have anything else before we close the workshop?
For the record, who would that be?
Make a motion to adjourn workshop meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Nancy, if we could have roll call for the regular meeting, please.
Mr. Bombs? Mr. Cosmo? Councilman Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Here. Holly?
Here.
Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Pensi?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis? Mr. Burke? Ms. Walter?
Here.
Vice Chair Neff?
Here.
Chair McCulloch?
Here.
Okay.
First item is the approval of the October 5th, 2023 minutes. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilman Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kaczynski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Ms. Walton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff?
Yes.
Chair McCulloch?
Yes. Next item is approval of attorney's voucher for August 2023. Need a motion?
Make a motion to approve, Jasko.
A second.
Councilman Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kaczynski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Ms. Walton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff?
Yes.
Chair McCulloch?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next item is the consistency review, the HBD and CBD ordinance 15-2023. Mr. Dougherty, if you want to just kind of bring us into this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm sure all recall our discussion last meeting. It was sort of a draft ordinance review discussion, a pre-introduction. I thought it was an excellent template that we've created to when we make ordinance changes or suggestions to the Chapter 150 development regulations to have them, if not originate here in this body, sort of get a first crack at shaping the ordinance changes before they're properly introduced. So we went back and took some of the suggestions of the board and integrated them into the ordinance 15-2023 that was introduced on October 12th. This is the consistency review and the public hearing of possible adoption of this is scheduled for Monday, November 20th. It's the second November council meeting. And just, Mr. Chairman, if I may, just to highlight a couple of the significant changes. We added a minimum of 40% of the street level frontage for be occupied by the principal use. It was one of the discussions that, to kind of encourage more retail and principal use on the ground level rather than amenities in some of these buildings. There was a softening of the language. A lot of shalls became shoulds in the design elements. And there was also some significant suggestions from Ms. Majewski specifically on the recommendations for lands not used for buildings, parking, circulation, et cetera, should include landscape improvements featuring native plants, pollinator areas, permeable materials, and green infrastructure elements. So thank you, Ms. Majewski, for that. So those are the highlights. Certainly, can defer to Mr. Savis if he has anything else to add about this proceeding.
Mr. Leonard says here, us to...
Sorry about that.
Give the board a synopsis and just a brief presentation.
Terrific.
Why don't you come on forward and name an address, and then I'll swear you.
Sure.
Is my microphone here?
Yes, sir.
Testing.
Okay. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And name an address.
Okay, Ronald Reinertsen, R-E-I-N-E-R-T-S-E-N. My office address, 3141 Bordentown Avenue in Parlin, New Jersey. I'm a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey in good standing since 2005, unless I've been told otherwise. But pleasure to be here tonight. Spent plenty of time in Atlantic Highlands. My grandparents, late grandparents, lived here many decades ago up on 30 East Washington Avenue. Not going to say it's like being home, but it's like visiting old friends. So anyway, with that, I just went over the master plan with a fresh set of eyes, looked at the ordinance, and really I think in the seventh policy statement on page one really cites different sections of the master plan, and that's really what we're here for. The planning board gets referred the ordinance and then has to find it's consistent with the master plan. And that specific policy statement talks about the master plan objectives, limiting future development and population density, encourage structural and aesthetic improvements in the business and entertainment districts to strengthen their commercial attraction, promote a viable economic base and expand the choice of goods, services, and employment available within the borough, and three, retain the small town residential character while continuing to thrive as an active, livable waterfront community. I just made a little dog ears here of reference because I just want to reference each of those. Heritage is maintaining and enhance the borough's architectural, historic, scenic heritage as an asset for the future. I had B in housing on page 4-2. The goal is to limit future development and population density, which is referred here. In commerce, the goal, let's see, is on page 4-3. It is to encourage structural and aesthetic improvements in the business and entertainment districts. So I think I've basically read that. I'm not going to repeat that. I think there was one more that was in e-commerce, and that's on page 4-8. Retain the small town residential character while continuing to thrive as an active, livable waterfront community. And I only had one big clip today, so it was a little hard to read that. So basically, that's what it's consistent with the master plan. I think that there's been efforts in just in having gotten a background on this and heard this brief presentation. And Majeski? Mm-hmm. And your contributions were acknowledged. But basically, trying to find a mix within the different districts. Basically, I'm just looking for architectural and building design in HPD and CBD zones, really to try to find an appropriate mix and a design element that will be consistent and be consistent with the master plan, but more than that, it will be good for the borough. So. I can go over, I don't really think I should go over specifics. You've gone through it. That's my brief presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
That's great. Thanks very much.
And you just expressed your opinion that this is consistent with the master.
My professional opinion, and looking at it in a little set of eyes, I will say my professional opinion, it is consistent with the master plan for these specific sections I cited. And there's others, too, but I think that, again, the policy statements put it up front. I just like to put, on the record what specific pages there are. So if anyone reads a transcript in the future, it's just not one little statement. It's not, this is the statement, and here it is. So it is consistent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Katrina, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you got a chance to look it over. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I don't mind. And I appreciate I did have a conversation, an email with Malvika. I've done a lot of consideration with this. I do feel my comments were heard, you know, and it's this, the ordinance is well intended. I just can't fully put my weight behind it the way that it exists today, even in its revised state. There's still things in there that I think this ordinance would be better without those things in there. I think on its head, the ordinance regulates density. It you know, and that's what it should do. I don't think it should be regulating and dictating design. And that is what is happening. And I feel like it's an overreach. I think that the ordinance would be better without the design elements, the design suggestions included in it, and just sticks right to density, right to the meat of it. And that's not to say, as I explained in the last meeting, that I think that we do need to have our design standards reviewed, but I think that should be done as a whole encompassing separate effort, because when we pick and choose, you know, specific zones in the boroughs to pay attention to and not do all the other zones, or pick and choose specific features to pay attention to and not do all the other features, it just leads to design that could be better better thought out, and a more all-encompassing sort of approach. So for that reason alone, I think it would be better to separate the two. Stick with the density. That does need to be addressed, as does the design element, but in a separate manner. And I'm happy to go through all of the items. I don't think that that's necessary. I don't know if anybody else like totally wants to hear all of that. But like there's still a lot of things in this that I think that don't offer an improvement or an advancement to the borough or to anybody coming to the borough to develop in it.
Points well taken. My feeling is that in terms of what we're trying to accomplish here, and that's essentially it's a consistency review. And I think that as long as it's consistent with the master plan, as stated, this doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the road. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like it's going to go back to council.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we talked about before with establishing a subcommittee, in the event that this goes through and it becomes an ordinance, this would be something that, okay, now we can take a deeper dive in. But I think just in terms of tonight, what we're trying to do is decide whether or not it's consistent with the master plan. And then once it goes back to council, I think those points that you just made and wanted to make but didn't might be better served at council.
And I appreciate that. A lot of times with everything on planning board, I try to really think and approach everything black and white, you know, municipal land use, the application, so on and so forth. So, yeah, thanks. It is consistency review is like the heart of it. It's not picking apart the whole ordinance and stuff.
Right, and so, also kind of separates us from being the creators of the ordinances, which is definitely not what we do.
Yeah.
You know, that's a council job.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is separate from that. And I know that sometimes, you know, out in the public, we're called the planning board, so everybody thinks that we're calling the shots, and we're not. But you've done a lot of work on this and spent a lot of time on it, and I would encourage you not just to be like, all right, well, it's consistent review.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I mean, that's certainly something that is work that has value.
Right.
It has value to those who are going to create and vote on the ordinance.
Right.
So
it's like a yes and approach.
And there is going to be a public hearing.
And there is going to be a public hearing.
Council.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you can put all your for your suggestion, get everything in writing and present that.
Yeah.
At the time also.
For sure. Cool.
I do think the design stuff too, by the way, I think is a good step in the right direction. I kind of consider it almost like bumper bowling, right? It's going to prevent gutter balls from being thrown, but if you want to throw a straight ball, you want to throw a curve ball, you know, you can kind of have some flexibility in design to do it, but it's going to eliminate gutter balls from being put up. That's the way at least I took it.
Great.
It's a good committee. Look at that. Left, right, and center. Here we go.
Get those emails going.
That's.
Yeah, it's almost a courtesy. It's just been not.
He'll be happy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so if any, does anybody have anything else they want to add before we make a motion?
Just one. I believe we do. Yeah. Just one additional thought. I mean, this. How appreciative I am for the input that Katrina and other members of the board gave to us. I mean, this is as I stated last month. This is kind of long overdue. You know, this sort of generational. We haven't really given a deep dive look at these ordinances in a long time. And so, you know, it's the intent is very well meaning, and it's meant to be a starting point. And it was always, you know, the kind of two-step process that Mr. McGoldrick and I discussed with this was, you know, to create this as a starting point and then set up the subcommittee as the body that would look much more closely with expert help to make additional suggestions and changes.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And, you know, with any law, any ordinance, any whatever, there's an intended consequence, right? I think the intended consequence of this is well understood, but there's many times unintended consequences that time kind of bears out. So, you know, something that, you know, we can all keep an eye on, but more importantly, you know, like that work that you've done has value, and that is an added value that, I mean, I'm talking personally now, but that has a lot of value to those who are going to be creating this and voting on this ordinance. So,
mm-hmm.
So. Make a motion.
I'll make a motion. Sorry, here's my agenda to pass this for consistency review.
Correct.
There we are. Yes.
I'll second that.
Councilman Dawson? Councilman Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Doxko?
Yes.
Ms. Okupinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzula?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff?
Yes.
Chair McCullough?
Yes.
Thank you all for having me.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Next item is resolution PB 23-05, Soul 64 Prospect Circle. Need a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Councilman Dalby?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Dasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kopinski?
Yes.
Mr. Juicy?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzula?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff?
Yes.
Chair
McCullough? Yes. Next item is resolution PB 23-01, Kennedy Wright, Green Beaver Route. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second, Josco.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Mr. Josco?
Yes.
Mr. Kopinski?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chair McCullough?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Mr. Stavridge, you'll take the next item.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the next item of business on the agenda is PB 23-02. It's the Kalian application, 160 First Avenue, Block 101, Lot 4.01. That application is scheduled for this evening to announce a special meeting. The special meeting is going to be conducted on November 21, 2023, at 7:00 p.m. in this same room, so that anyone who has an interest in that application, this is the only notice you're going to receive about it, so you need to be back here at that date and time, November 21, 2023, 7:00 p.m. No further notice will be required.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Next item is application 22-18 Baker, 170 Ocean Boulevard, Block 17, lots 8.01 and 8.02.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recuse myself from this application.
Thank you, Mr. Hawley.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed service in connection with this application. Service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the application. I'm also aware of the following exhibits that the board has received thus far in connection with the application. They include an application for subdivision that's dated August 19, 2022. Exhibit A2 is a steep slope plan prepared by Brian P. Murphy. That's dated September 2, 2022. Exhibit A3 is a minor subdivision plan prepared by William P. Schemmel, land surveyor. That's dated April 1, 2021, revised September 2, 2022. Exhibit A4 is a review of your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated September 15, 2023. That was review number two. There also is a prior review number one from CME Associates. It's A5, and that is dated January 3, 2023. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of that the board has received thus far in connection with the application, and Mr. Alfieri is here representing the applicant.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Salvatore Alfieri, Cleary, J. Cody, Alfieri, Jacobs, on behalf of the applicant. This is a minor subdivision application to construct a home on what is now a vacant lot, and it's essentially a lot line adjustment for two lots currently exist, and to us would remain if this board were to grant the approval. We have several witnesses. Our engineer is running late, but we have two witnesses to cover while he's running away. Our first is our architect, who's going to show you the proposed home that would be constructed on the vacant lot, again, if this were approved. How do you want him set it up? Over there, okay?
Here.
That's fine if you can give it a little bit of a point toward the audience so they're able to see what's going on.
Did you see it?
They can't see it. We'll turn it around there. You just sit out with maybe do it twice.
Yeah.
Sure. Sir, you push back towards the door.
This is right now, I can't even use this. This is above the market. Yeah.
Oh, it's on the screen.
Oh, it's on the screen. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, perfect.
Okay, good.
Sir, would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And give us your name and address.
Anthony Condouris, C-O-N-D-O-U-R-I-S, 20 Bingham Avenue, Rumson, New Jersey.
And Mr. Condouris, we're seeking to have you qualified as a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey. Would you place your credentials on the record, please?
Yes, I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey. I got licensed in 1996. I have a Bachelor's of Architecture from Penn State University, 1992. And I've had my own architectural firm since 1998. And I've testified in front of this board in several other ways. Numerous.
And the exhibit that we're going to be referring to needs to be marked. Can you identify what that exhibit is?
This is the color rendering
of the...
The proposed home, and I don't know, maybe this was submitted, I didn't realize it, so maybe it doesn't have to be marked.
It hasn't been marked yet.
Okay.
I'm going to characterize this as a board mounted three photographs.
Three color renderings.
Three color renderings, and that's exhibit A6.
Okay.
Okay, could you describe in a little more detail what A6 represents, please?
So A6 represents some three-dimensional views of the proposed home. As you can see, it's a unique home for a lot of reasons. It's built up on top of the bluff there, and it was designed to actually fit within the trees and sort of get camouflage within the trees. It has multiple levels, but a lot of space underneath, actually. And this is the view that you can see from looking, if you're looking south, up north. That's the view up the hill. That's the top edge there. The image on the lower left is the view from the other home that's on the adjacent lot, looking down. So this area here that almost looks green, that would actually be the bay. And this is looking up from the street where the parking is provided for the house. So those are the three different views.
And how many bedrooms are proposed?
It's two bedrooms on one level, then there's a loft on the upper level.
Can you give the board the size, the gross square footage of the home?
It's around 1650.
All right, now, you realize that there's an ordinance provision that states that the minimum size of total square footage of a home is supposed to be 1,800 square feet. Is there a reason why you didn't make this home larger?
Yeah, well, one reason was that there was really no intention to overbuild, of course, but also it's being built within trees that we don't want to cut down, so it's sort of meandering. And it was really all the space that we needed, and we felt it was appropriate for the location.
And you've been to the property, I assume?
Yes, I have.
Is this house consistent with the other houses in the immediate area?
Yeah, there are many houses that look similar to this one throughout the home.
And does it have a garage?
It has a parking area, which is...
Wayne, we're going to need to address this.
I'm sorry.
So this would be, this is a floor plan?
These are floor plans, yes.
Okay.
It's going to be Exhibit A7.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is there a date on that?
Yes. October 23rd, 23.
Thank you.
Okay. Continue, please.
Yeah, so there's no garage, but there is a parking area. But when I say there's no garage, it doesn't have full walls, so it's under the house. And it can park two cars, but it's not enclosed garage.
And what is that circular structure within the center?
This is a stair tower, which you can see in this photo right here. Just an image, excuse me. And that stairway gets you from the lowest level all the way to the top. The first level you come to is actually the bedroom level, so it's reverse living, for lack of a better word. So you arrive, you come up, you're on this level where there's two bedrooms. Next floor up, there's a kitchen and a living room. And on the top floor, there's a loft that overlooks the living room and right out the windows.
There's also an ordinance provision that talks about the minimum square footage on the first floor, 900 square feet. The way this is designed in various levels, you can't have, you're not designing for 900 square foot monolithic first floor.
Right, the floors are staggered, but one could say that these two floors are the first floor because they're not stacked.
It's like a split.
Yeah, exactly.
That's only architectural. The ordinance says that the height cannot exceed 35 feet. We will comply with the...
We will comply, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. But you are...
Thanks very much. You have a question for the architect? Doug, do you want to lead off?
Sure, thank you.
Good evening. So you mentioned your proposal intends to comply with the max building height of 35 feet. How about stories? The ordinance also restricts buildings in the R3 zone to 2.5 stories. So could you just talk about the splits and how many stories you have proposed?
Sure. Probably the best way to illustrate that would be through these elevations. This one in particular. We have to mark this too, yeah.
So A8, can you identify what A8 is?
A8 would be two-dimensional drawings of the elevations.
A8?
October 23rd, 23.
Okay. Go ahead.
So if you look at this image here, it's up there as well. These are really the only two full floors. On this floor, there is a loft tucked underneath this roof, which is only takes up half of the floor space of this square area right here. So, if you include, you know, definition of a half story, this is well under one third of the square footage of these two levels. So, if the loft itself is 11 by 19. But it has a sloped ceiling.
So, your position is it's 2.5 stories?
I would consider it 2.5 stories. It's really a mezzanine, right, which in the eyes of the building department doesn't really count as a story. In the eyes of the building code, too, does not count as a story.
With regards to the siting of the structure, you mentioned proposing it to be preserving some natural vegetation and tucking it within those mature trees themselves. So, did you look at anywhere else on the property further away from the slope?
The intent was to put it in this one area where there happens to be a number of large trees. So that was the location that we put it there. So we did not consider a different location.
Can I ask?
You, of course, jump in. I still have a few more.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask how close this was to me. I'm just looking at the map and
So, with regards to the proximity to the edge of slope, and actually, it appears that it cantilevers out over the slope?
Yes, it does.
Have you given any consideration to the foundation design itself?
Yes, well, there were discussions. The homeowner did have some discussions with the geotech. There is bedrock in the area, and the idea would be to pin to that bedrock. He's not here, but we would submit something as contingent.
In situations such as this where you have topography issues, it's not uncommon if approval, again, were granted to condition the approval and construction on supervision by a geotech professional. So, and with the town, obviously, the building department monitoring to make sure everything's constructed so it's stable. And there are other homes, obviously, in the area that have similar type construction constraints. So we have no issue stipulating that as a condition of approval.
With regards to the roof design, can you talk a little bit about how stormwater will be collected, concentrated, conveyed, and specifically conveyed down the slope?
Well, it will have gutters, but as far as stormwater management, that might be a question for the engineer.
Okay, so there'll be some interface between the gutter system and what your engineer proposes to handle the concentrated flow?
Yes.
Could you just talk a little bit about the roof itself, how it's changing the existing drainage patterns?
Based on the topography, I'm not sure.
Yeah, how do your roof shed? How are your proposed roofs being collected, and where are they going to be brought down?
I don't show any gutters. It'd be your typical residential style gutters that we'll get it down wherever we can that looks appropriate. We haven't really designed the gutters yet, but it doesn't have to have gutters, but of course it will have gutters, and we'll route those. I can coordinate with the engineer to figure out the best route for the gutters.
utilities. How do you envision this home being serviced by water, sewer, and gas?
Again, I say that was, should be on the engineer's question.
Yes, the engineer will discuss septic and then the other utilities.
Okay.
We would have started with the engineer. I'm kind of going, sorry.
This might be him.
That is it.
Good. Looks like an engineer.
What's under the building? Is that all impervious, or do you have any under the house?
Well, it is raised, yes. This is the area that is the parking area, so that would not be impervious. Although it could be, it could have stones, I guess, but it's most likely to be something like a slab. This section
so
would very well be impervious.
It would be impervious.
It would be impervious, yes.
I knew it was that.
Sorry. Yes, that's correct.
Under the main portion and behind the circular structure is underneath there is what?
This actually, there is an opportunity to keep this open underneath, under that other section of the structure.
Yeah, it looks a little open, but it looks like you were stacking like glass shelves. It's just on the rendering, is it? Because I don't.
Well, here, actually, if you look at this rendering here, on the lower right, you can see we actually showed the hill is literally going under this
section. It's actually existing, though. That's not, you're not adding any green infrastructure to support the drainage?
No, that would, well, as of now, that's existing, I guess.
Thank you.
But I don't, the engineer may have different testimony, I'm not sure.
And the materials that we got, I can't find the driveway. They have, how do you enter in the
basement? That would be on the engineer's.
Okay, great. Doug, do you have anything else? No. Any other question? Any other questions from the board?
Engineer is currently driving.
Any questions from the public? Oh, yes. If you could come forward, please.
Come forward, give us your name and address, and then ask your questions.
Kim Wilson, 5 Hope Harbor Road, just right above you. Just a question on the height of the house. The height you say has to be larger than 35 feet. So is that the height of the house from where? And like, where does the, is it starting because there's these long columns that come down? I just don't understand, is the total height above where your starting point 35 feet, or is it just the height of the house?
So, this board has spent a lot of time looking at the definition and how to define building height, especially in instances with where you have significant slope from the front to the back. So, building heights measured, it's the vertical distance measured from the average elevation of the grade at the front of the building. So take the average grade across the front, 35 feet.
So would there be a way to understand how tall it's going to be in comparison to its neighbors? Is it exceeding the neighbor's roof height?
I did not compare it to the neighbor's roof heights. And possibly.
Does the property sit lower where you're planning to build than the house right next door?
The main house, the white house? Mm-hmm. It is slightly lower than that property, but then it takes a much more extreme slope, as you can.
Do you know, is it possible to find out whether the top of the roof height is higher than the accompanying house next door?
The main house again, the white house?
I see. If your question is the roof of the main house higher or lower than the roof of this house that we're constructing, you said?
Yes, because we're sitting up above and obviously our...
Because it's down the hill more and it's... Okay. So it will not exceed the main.
Thanks very much. Good questions. Sir.
Eric Knopfnauer, one of the Barbara, right above this property. In the Adirondacks, we measured from the lowest portion of the house. So when I was building a property in the Adirondacks, their height measurement was from the lowest walkout part of the basement, which is not a living space, all the way to the top. Couple questions. Number one, why is the variance being sought that the house be built right on the property line when you have two full lots that now you're dividing into four, that one lot, you divided the lot into two lots, and now you're dividing those two lots into four lots?
No, that's completely inaccurate. Our engineer can answer the question about the variance. It's two lots today, it's going to be two lots after this approval.
Then why is it 801?
801 is the current lot numbers, and 803, 804 are the proposed lot numbers if the lot line is adjusted. Because the assessor will assign new lot numbers, new lots will create new lot configurations.
Because that was misleading in the letter.
Yeah, so it's a two lot, it will be two lots at the conclusion of this matter.
And the variance being sought, number 164, and why is not enough living space on the first floor versus above, which would decrease the roof floor? And number two, why is it right up against the property line where you otherwise are adjusting?
It's not against the property line. The reason there's a the engineer can answer, but I'll just generally answer it as a layperson. The reason there's a variance is because it doesn't front on the public street, because that street was vacated and is now zoned privately. That's the variance, not because it's on the property line. But this, your second question was, our first question was, why is the first floor the size it is?
Well, it's driven by the design of the house. It's a multi-level house, and it's a unique design, and, you know, we're trying to, like most people up here, we want to catch the views, so that's why it's designed the way it's designed. This being the main section that we're trying to capture here.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Peter Savage, Book of Harbor Road, and I live at that house on the same street. So this house wouldn't necessarily impact where my home is, but I've been there for 23 years, and I do understand that there's a new year, and there's all sorts of, you know, stuff that goes into these, you know, building these homes and making it safe and preserving the slope. But I know this really has probably no bearing on this, but Mother Nature doesn't really want to, you know, doesn't care what the engineer has to say. And they've seen that, you know, I walk that path every single day. And over the last 24 years, it's significantly come down. So it makes me very...
Can I just stop you for just a second? This is the time for questions for the architect. There right. will be time for public comment
okay.
after the entire presentation is done.
Okay.
And
so I won't pass out.
And I think that, well, I didn't want to be rude, but yeah. I think that those comments are more appropriate during that period.
Got it. Okay.
But notwithstanding that we're cutting you off right now.
No, it's probably better off.
Raise your right hand. You either swear or affirm that any testimony you've given so far and that you may give in the future is the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Okay.
Fine.
Yes.
Hi, Marie Knopfnauer, Elizabeth Harbor Road. Just a quick question. What trees will be eliminated for this building?
Our engineer will be able to give you the details. Next question.
Yeah, I know that there's a few new faces in the garage, just the way it'll work. The architect is here. He's presenting the architecture, and we're asking questions of the architect now. When the engineer comes up, the engineer will make his presentation, and then we'll be able to ask questions at that time. And then, once the presentation is completed, we'll be able to make comment. Any other questions from the architect? Any online?
Okay, Brian. And now we'll call Brian Murphy, our engineer and planner.
Thank you, Mr. Manders.
You're welcome.
Sir, raise your right hand and be sworn, please. Do you swear affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your name and address, please.
Brian Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, 1856 Route 9, Tom River, New Jersey. I'm a licensed professional engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been before this board and roughly 100 other boards throughout the state. I've been practicing since 1999, planning. A lot more than that, I think. Number one.
Brian, the aerial exhibit that you're about to describe, was that submitted in advance?
No, not the aerial.
Going to be in on...
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. Thank you.
So, Mr. Murphy, before we begin testifying, go up to A9. Would you mark that and identify what that exhibit is, please?
Sure.
A9 is a Google Earth aerial shot of the property and surrounding area. The property is indicated in red. The properties are indicated in red. To the north is the Raritan Bay. To the east is a vacant piece of property. To the south is Ocean Boulevard and single family dwellings beyond that. To the west side is Shore Road, and additional single family homes to the left side of the property. The property is 8.01 and 8.02. It's in the R3 zone. Again, 8.01 currently has a single family house on the property and it looks like a detached garage in front of it, but it's actually attached underground by a pump. There's also a detached garage up near that intersection of Shore Road and Ocean Boulevard. We're not proposing any development at all on that property on lot 8.01. 8.02 is the property more toward the northwest corner of the property in red, and that property is currently vacant. Essentially, we have two lots today. We're looking to have two lots, provided that this is approved at the end of the day. We're looking to take 2,700 square feet from lot 8.01 and add that to 8.02 to make lot 8.02 larger. Where the confusion, I guess, came in is we're going to have new lot numbers once those lots are altered. So 8.01 will become 8.03, 8.02 will become 8.04.
Brian, while you're just, can you just trace onto that exhibit or on the exhibit the existing lot line is two lots?
Sure. The dark red lot line is the bulk of that is lot 8.01. 8.02 is the red line that you see kind of lighter within the boundary of that. So this semi rectangular lot on the northwest corner is 8.02.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Continue.
Sure. I'll go to. This is just a color rendering of the split of the minor subdivision that was submitted to the board.
That's A10. Is there a date on that?
Sure.
Is there a date on the plan?
Yes. 810, last revised 3/28/23. And sheet 101, minor subdivision. This is basically color rendering of the minor subdivision. You can tough to see on this one, but the existing lot line basically runs from north to south and cuts east to west out the Shore Road. We're proposing to extend the lot line further south from the existing lot line and further east from that lot line for roughly 2,700 feet. So basically, we'll just add that property to the existing lot that's 8.01. Currently, 8.01, or 8.02 rather, which is a smaller lot, it's 33, a little more than 33,000 square feet. 30,000 is required. It meets all the bulk requirements as far as the lot size. Obviously, the issue that came up is that this road, Shore Road, was vacated by the township in 2008. What we're depicting on the plan is the proposed house that we're looking to build, with a two-car driveway that comes into it. Access will be off of Shore Road. Again, lot 8.03, which has the existing house, we're not proposing any changes to that. The access will remain the same. All the development that is on that lot, the pool, et cetera, would remain. We're not looking to alter anything on that existing property.
And that grayish area that leads to the proposed home on, would be 8.03, is the driveway?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, sure.
You know, sewer, we're providing a proposed septic on this property, as is on the existing house to the north, or to the south. There isn't any sewer nearby, and it would be substantially different in grade, much higher in grade than this property. So it's not really feasible to get a sewer line run to this property. The properties surrounding this is also on septic as well.
Septic approval is required for the health program?
Absolutely, yes. With regard to stormwater, we would be providing a dry well on the property, so the entire roof would go into the dry well. There is also an existing drainage system out in Shore Road that basically goes into a drainage swale to the west of the property. So we would basically have an overflow, so that if there is an overflow from the dry well, it's not going over land, it's basically kind of directed to that storm system. And that's all within the utility easements and drainage easements that go over what was Shore Road to the adjacent properties.
Brian, you mentioned septic. What about gas and water?
Sure. Basically, it's readily available, so we'll be able to bring that down to the site as needed. With regard to parking, lot 8.03, that's an existing six-bedroom house. Three stalls are required. We have 11 on site. Lot 8.04, which is the new house, is a two-bedroom house. It's required to have two parking stalls. We're providing four. Again, we want to have a little extra room there so that people aren't parking out on Shore Road or, you know, certainly out Ocean Boulevard. So we want to provide some additional parking room for the house. Again, it's a modest house. It's only a two-bedroom house. The way it's basically being designed, as the architect indicated, it's kind of up on pillars. It reduces the impact to the area, and it kind of goes better with the grade of the property. You know, we obviously have some elevation change across the property as a result. We do have substantial drop, especially in the dark shaded area leading down to the Raven River and the river walk that's there. So obviously we're not looking to disturb that area at all.
Is there a tree removal proposed in the area of proposed disturbance?
Yeah, there's a 1 24-inch tree that would have to come down. The rest of the trees, we're looking to set this house kind of, our nickname is the tree house. So we're looking to basically have that kind of set within the trees, within the property. We really want to limit the amount of clearing out on the site as much as feasible. You know, there's some underbrush and so forth that are off here, and we're obviously to construct the house. But the only substantial tree is that 24-inch tree. The rest of them we'd look to keep as is on the property. Can you go through the letter or the variances?
Well, do you want to share some photos, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Please.
So we have a few photos of really the driveway that we're discussing. What was Shore Road?
All right, so first of all, who took the photographs? If you know, and if they at least accurately depict the conditions of the properties that you're about to...
They do accurately depict them. I have been out there. I recognize these photos. I did not take the photos. Mr. Smith took the photos. But I can represent that this is the site. This is the areas I'm about to describe that have been out there. I know what it looks like. So the picture in the top left corner is basically looking across into what is Shore Road. Shore Road continues on to the north side of Ocean Boulevard, but it was only that portion to the south that was vacated. So this is basically the entrance going down into the site. The white building that you can see here is that detached garage that's on existing lot 8.01 that's going to remain. The next photo in the center is basically coming over just into the front of the driveway. You can see the garage to the right. This kind of gives you a good view looking down the driveway. There's a wood guiding rail running down that west side of the roadway. The curving is basically down the entire roadway. The road's in very good shape. I don't see any excessive wear or potholes, anything like that going on here. It was recently topped. I'm not sure what year, but in the last 5 years or so. And it's in very good condition. This basically looking down, you can kind of see how it goes all the way down. The curb runs all the way down the road. The picture to the top right, that's basically looking into that driveway. This is that existing garage that I'm referring to. And it shows basically the driveway that runs into up to the existing house. And then goes down towards the closed development. The next bottom left picture is basically looking down further past the existing garage. You can just see the house that's going to be adjacent to this down at the bottom. The center bottom picture is further down the road again. This is the house basically that's to our east. You can see there's basically like a hammerhead turnaround going into the adjacent property for emergency vehicles to be able to turn around in that area. And the last picture is basically a look straight into what is proposed to be lot 8.04, which is already there.
Okay, thanks, Brian. And now,
for the record, that's exhibit A11 photo board with 6 8.5 by 11 inch photographs of the subject property and environment.
12, right?
That's 11.
Okay, Brian. So first of all, you've had an opportunity to review the CME report dated September 15th, which was marked previously as A4, I assume.
Yes.
And we'll address those comments momentarily. And also, there are certain variances that are triggered as a result of this application that I need you to describe in a little more detail and justify how the board has the authority to grant the variances. So whatever order you want.
I guess that maybe we'll go through the CME letter first and then go get into the variances. With the board's permission, I'll just skip the items that we agree with, that we have no issue with.
And to the extent you don't testify to them, that means you agree to them.
That's correct.
Okay.
Just for some expediency. So again, I'm looking at the CME letter dated 9/15/23. And basically we jumped to the discussion items with the board, which is on page 4, item 7. 1 and 2, I'll get into, that's basically the variance testimony. Item C is with regard to the lots and whether they were conjoined together or not. So these lots were sold in 2017. They were two legal lots because this lot 8.02 did have frontage on the public road at that point in time. It was subsequent to that the lots were subdivided, and then subsequent to these lots being purchased, the road was vacated in 2018. So the lots are legally existing. They were purchased legally and owned by different people. Yes.
Just as a matter of clarity.
Yes.
These two lots were once one on one deed with a single owner, were they not?
They were at one point.
Many years ago, several several owners back.
Several owners back?
Yes.
And then lot 8.03 was sold off without 8.0, I'm sorry, 8.01 was sold off without 8.02.
Correct.
And then later 8.02 was sold off to a different owner. So that's when things split.
Well, there was...
Well, you said they were subdivided, but there was never a subdivision.
No, they weren't subdivided. They were just, there were separate ownership. At one point, they were in common ownership, but there were two legal lots at that point. And then later, they were sold again to separate ownership, and after, subsequent to that, under being separate ownership, Shore Road was vacated.
If I could just jump in on that. Lot 8.02, I believe you testified if the area for 8.02 is 33,000 square feet roughly?
Yes.
And that includes the vacated portion of Shore Road?
Yeah, that's the total lot area as it sits today.
Today?
Yes.
Okay. So in review of the... you got to clarify this. So in review of the tax maps on the borough website, there's a tax map from, it looks like what I see last revised in 95, when Shore Road was still a public right-of-way. Uh-huh. It's indicating lot 8.02 is 0.62 acres. So do you have any documentation on the square footage of 8.02 prior to the vacating of Shore Road? Because I'm seeing it as 0.62 acres, which is roughly 27,000 square feet, undersized lot. That's what I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
I'm not sure you have any information back prior to the vacation.
I don't.
So if that's something the board or board professionals needed, we would have to get that for you. I'm just looking to see if I have it somewhere among the documents. So as of this moment, unless my client has information with the engineer, the answer is we don't know the answer to that question.
Can I ask that a clarifying question as well? Why was Shore Road vacated? Was it due to damage?
Oh, why?
Was there like an erosion issue?
Who owns it?
Is there like damage to the slope there? I mean, well, I only ask because it would be pertinent to the...
There, and Mr. Smith's here, he might be able to give you a little more history, but in reading, there was a ordinance that was adopted by the municipality to vacate that road and a cross-access easement, which was... signed by the owners of the contiguous owners to the vacated road, which passed on the maintenance responsibilities to them, and they've been maintaining the plowing in the same city.
We have the same up on our hill, too.
I'm not sure what was the driver for that.
I can read from the ordinance if you'd like me to. I haven't pulled it up. It says there's litigation pending in Superior Court of New Jersey Law Division entitled Ahern et al. V. Grant et al. The borough asserted its legal position that while Shore Road may have been dedicated for public use when the Sears Landing subdivision was first established and developed in the early 1900s, it has never been accepted by the borough, and while the issue of whether or not Shore Road was accepted by the borough was not resolved in the litigation, the issue can be resolved by means of the borough's vacation of the rights of the road.
And that was in 2018. But prior to that, it was considered illegal, like a road.
I don't
asked this because wasn't
it's
it
unclear.
If it was a legal property with a road, so that was sold legally with the road in 2017, or was that never legal? It was never a road, so that property may be in contention. Is that?
It sounds like that was the issue of dispute. I remember reading that ordinance early on. That was the issue and dispute between the property owners and the borough.
How was that resolved?
By the vacation.
By the borough vacating it.
So it was never solved in litigation, the borough decided to vacate the road.
But regardless, prior to the vacation in 2018, Lot 8.02 existed in a smaller size, which I believe from the tax map, it was 0.62 acres.
So, Doug, sorry, just to reiterate that, you're saying before the road was vacated, the lot was smaller. After it was vacated, it's bigger. Right now, for some reason.
That's okay. My understanding, based on the information I have at this point, and I welcome any clarification from the applicants or the property owners themselves.
Now, once the road is vacated, typically it splits down to half goes to each property owner that fronts on that. So what we're getting to is we need to look at some deed research and see what the actual square footage was prior to the vacation.
So the other said property that's adjoining Shore Road, I don't know the address of that resident.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many are involved in?
I think there's four total.
Four property owners?
There's a cross access who signed it as a result of the vacation, also in 2018. And I think where the engineer is going is that you have an ordinance that says that if you have a substandard lot that's in common ownership, they merge. So, which is broader than normal municipal land use law or case law, where it says you have two undersized lots that are in common ownership, they merge. Here it just says if it's not compliant in some way. So if for some reason there was a merger way back, I don't know how many decades ago, the question would be, do we need to have a different reference to a subdivision to recreate a lot? They're in different ownership now, so I don't know how we would classify that, but that's something we're asking.
Well, actually, the bottom line is that these lots were under common ownership, and it appears at a time one of the lots was undersized, and the ordinance says that if you have two contiguous lots under one ownership and one of the lots is non-conforming, they become merged for zoning purposes. However, the land use law also says that if you take those lots and you sell them independently, the municipality has 2 years to say, wait a second, that's an illegal subdivision. You didn't come to us to get a subdivision. In this case, the 2-year period to complain about the separate sale of those lots has passed. So the lots are legitimate, they're separate lots under separate ownership at this point. What question that may run into, which the witness hasn't gotten to yet, is from my perspective, in terms of justifying variance relief, it's a self-created situation. So you've got two standards. You've got the C1 standard for positive criteria, which is something, a hardship with respect to the lot, narrowness, shape, topography, all that kind of stuff. But if you've created that situation, then you can't argue that as justification. You have to go into the C2 justification. So, I mean, that's where it's going to. These lots are legal now because they were separately sold. And there was no complaint by the borough that said, oh no, it was an illegal subdivision. So they're now lawful separate lots.
Okay, Brian, so you want to continue with?
Sure. Going to item D, again, I'm just going to stay under item 7 from starting from page 4. In the CME letter. So C, you know, we've discussed the roadway vacation. D is accessing utility easements in place. Lot 0.02 does have the rights to access and provide utilities off of what was Shore Road. We can provide that easement language to your professionals and to the board. Item E, does it comply with the borough standards? Again, I haven't done a coring of the road to see what the thickness of the road is, but based off my observations, it's in good condition. As far as the lot, the roadway width, we're varying anywhere from 20 to almost 30 feet wide. As you go down the road, it does vary in width. on the property. And obviously, we don't have sidewalks and the streetlights, but most likely that don't meet the township requirements for street lighting. And again, this is a private roadway. It's not a public roadway. H, again, the easements and utilities, we can provide that language. I, we discussed the heights. We comply with the height requirements. Item J, the site conforms in lot area and setbacks. Will front on Shore Road as the adjacent home does. You know, with regard to architecture, you know, we feel that the architecture isn't out of character with the area. It is different, but there's no homogeneous architecture in this area. You kind of have many different kind of types of homes, custom homes in the area. But we do feel overall the architectural style isn't out of keeping with the community or the immediate neighborhood. J, on to L. With regard to setbacks, basically we're looking at technically we don't have a front setback, but we're treating basically the front setback, the setback off of Shore Road as a front setback. It's really going to act as the front yard for all intents and purposes. So we're basically complying with any front setback off of Shore Road. M, the existing...
So the ordinance requires 25 feet off of, for a front yard setback.
Yes.
And we, this home would be 25 feet off of Shore Road.
Well in excess of that, yes.
Sorry.
Item M is basically just looking for the distance between the existing house that's going to be on lot 8.03 and the proposed house. We're approximately 180 feet in between the two houses. Item N, you know, with regard to traffic impact, again, we're looking at a two-bedroom house. The traffic impact of a two-bedroom house is very minimal. RSIS looks at it, doesn't really differentiate between number of bedrooms for a house. The average trips per day peak is 10.1, according to RSIS. Again, that's independent of number of bedrooms. With regard to drainage, I kind of went through the drainage on the site and how we would address that. Alrighty, item Q, that really deals with the public sewer. It's not really feasible to connect to that. And we'll have to provide a septic and obviously go through County Health Department for that approval. Item R, lot 8.01, indicated as a historic site. The part that's historic is actually part, a piece of the foundation of the existing house that's remaining. Obviously, this has no impact on that foundation or the historic quality of the foundation of that house. Item V, we'll provide a geotech report for the site.
As conditional approval prior to construction?
Yes, yes. Y is regarding site easements. There's no site easement existing at that intersection of Shore Road and Ocean Boulevard. We will provide one. The county's going to want one as well, so we'll definitely provide a site easement at that location.
Well, you mentioned that there is an application pending with Monmouth County Planning Board. If this board will approve it, we still need Monmouth County Planning Board.
Yes, absolutely. Z, obviously, it depends on how long, you know, it takes to get construction permits, but obviously we'd be looking to get under construction as soon as feasible. Double A, again, this is kind of discussing the roadway, which we've already discussed, and that's all I really have. Everything else I pretty much agree with in the report, or agree to provide, obviously, if Doug has any other items, I would address that.
I have the actual cross-access easement that was created as a result of the vacation. I don't think we can mark that just so we have a clear record of that document, unless somebody, unless you have it already.
I don't. I don't have it. I don't know whether Doug received it, but I never received it.
I don't.
But we'll give it an A. We'll give it an A12.
Okay. Who do I give it to?
Can I start with it?
Thank you. Sure. Well, we're not going to, go ahead and try and assess it now, but we're not going to, on the fly, up with the determinations as to the meaning of the easement.
Just to note, though, for A12 cross access easement, Mr. Baker, who owns 8.02, is a signer. He's one of the parties to that. He owned it at the time the street was vacated, signed cross access easement. Brian, variances?
Yes, sir. So we have some variances associated with the property. Lot 8.03, 100-foot frontage is required on a public street. As we discussed, this is not a public street. We do have 124 feet along Shore Road, so I believe we comply with the intent of the ordinance, even though the street is vacated. It functions as a street, and having, and the lot having frontage along that street, and as I indicated, that'll be considered our front yard along that street, as you would anticipate. So I don't believe that is a negative impact of providing that. Each principal building shall be constructed on a lot with a public street improved. Again, same issue, lot 8.04 will be on a private roadway, not a public street. Minimum gross floor area, the floor area, 900 square feet, is required. We have 175 feet.
That's the first floor.
Exactly. Basically, it's just an entrance for it. So all of, really, that first floor level is, the rest of it's kind of all open. So it's basically a small entry for you that comes up to the main living area. Total floor area, 1,800 square feet. We have 1,628 square feet. Again, due to the slopes on the property, we're trying to limit, you know, our disturbance of the property, and I think going with a more compact layout is appropriate in this situation. Detached accessory buildings in the front yard. It references the two garages, but really the one garage that's closest to the house is connected through underground tunnel.
This is the existing home?
This is the existing home, yes, sir. But we would need technically need a variance for the existing garage that's up near that intersection of Shore Road and Ocean Boulevard. Again, it is existing. Max lot coverage, lot 8.04, 12% is permitted. Under the slope ordinance, utilizing that, we have 13.5%. Again, the house footprint's only 1,628 square feet, two-bedroom house. It's a kind of a modest out home. To be conforming, we'd be looking at a 1,439 square foot dwelling. Really, it kind of goes into a classic C1 variance with the exceptional topographic conditions on the site, trying to go with more of a compact development on the site. Max impervious coverage, 30% is permitted, and again, applying the steep slope ordinance, lot 8.03 is at 65.5%, and lot 8.04 is at 53.5%. Again, it's 2,530 square feet of impervious, so that's including the house and the driveway. The driveway is being basically kept to a minimum width to be able to provide access and parking onto the site. 30% coverage to be under the permitted requirement will only be 1,400 square feet. So I don't think that's really feasible to provide a house and a driveway at 1,400 square feet. And again, I feel this falls under the classic C1 variance of the reasons due to the exceptional topography of the site. Again, we provided roughly 2,700 feet to that lot, to lot 8.02, that's now going to be known as 8.04, to help with the variance conditions that exist on that would exist on the property. So we've improved the situation that would be on that property. The deviation will substantially outweigh any detriment. Such variance can be granted without the substantial detriment to the public good, and will not impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan. Again, either way, we're at a density of one house on one lot. The lot's conforming in size. So density-wise, we're right on target. With regard to the purposes of the MLUL and to meet the positive purposes, provide adequate light, air, and open space, the true lot coverage is only 4.5% for lot 8.04. Again, we're looking at a very modest home for the size property. and in this location, and also to promote appropriate population densities. As I indicated, we're only looking for one house on one lot. Only one is proposed, and that basically conforms with the rest of the neighborhood, obviously. To promote a desirable visual environment, the home is basically designed to be in harmony with the lot. So it's basically set up so that the design conforms with the surrounding neighborhood, and I believe will be a positive for the surrounding area. And we also have one waiver for an environmental impact statement.
That concludes the interior slash planner's testimony.
We're going to open up the questions before I ask them to start. Can we just maybe take a deeper dive into what Shore Road is? Is that where the mailing address will be?
I think it will actually be Ocean Boulevard. I believe that's what the lots that are on the other side of Shore Road, I believe it's Ocean Boulevard. Their mailboxes are up along along Ocean.
Gotcha. And you had indicated that have a dry well system, but you're going to rely on Shore Road for overflow. But that's not maintained anymore by the borough. If there's an issue on Shore Road, who deals with that?
It's basically that the homeowners, as they do now, are required to maintain the stormwater and the basins on that property. I'd have to see if the town has a right, as often, that whether they have a right to go in and basically maintain it if the homeowners don't maintain it, and then basically back charge them for that. But I'd have to see the language of the easement for that. And again, it's only basically an overflow emergency condition. Yeah. Rather than have it kind of go down over the slope, I think it'd be better to have it go into the drainage system.
Doug.
So, continuing along with the stormwater management design, are you able to show us on a plan how it's going to work? Where you mentioned a dry well, your architect deferred with regards to roof leader collections, and then I really wanted to dig into how the water is going to make its way down the slope itself, and the reason this is one of my concerns is that the proximity of the home to the slope is concerning. Mm-hmm. That slope throughout the borough and adjoining municipalities, it fails, it slumps, there's erosion issues constantly.
Sure.
And to propose a brand new build at the top of slope and cantilever out over it is concerning. So, number one, how you're proposing specifically to handle the runoff being that's going to be concentrated by your roof system and driveway, how that's going to be handled is really important for me. Sure. And the board to understand.
Sure. So basically the all the roof leaders would tie underground and be piped underground together and go into the dry well, so there'd be nothing going over the surface, and basically all going to the dry well. Anything that would overflow from that dry well would go to the inlet that's in the street, directly piped. We don't want any overland flow for just those reasons.
Has that design been finalized?
No.
Can I ask a clarification on that note? The basin that you're referring to for the overflow, is that below?
Below ground.
Below the house?
No,
I mean, because if you're getting the runoff, so it stands to reason that if we're creating a more impervious area, that the runoff to Mr. Romero's point is going to be going down the slope. And if we're looking for the overflow to catch it before it gets down the slope, what protection of the slope are you adding in to provide for the additional runoff that we foresee with the additional impervious area?
Well, the entire roof would go into the dry well, and that would be in what I would consider the front yard area between the house and Shore Road.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inlet basically right in front of the property in Shore Road.
Yeah, I see that.
So basically we'd tie that dry well, which would be underground, once and it's only a fail-safe.
Yeah, so it has to go up, right?
I want to give it somewhere to go if it fails.
Yeah.
And not down the slope.
Or the neighbors who's 180 feet away, so diverting the runoff to the left and the right of the house, or even into your drywall, you're not going to capture everything. Is there anything in place to protect that neighbor that's 180 feet?
Well, the neighbor...
Because they're like below...
Well, the neighbor's about 20 feet higher than us.
The one to the left right there?
Yeah, the one to the left is much higher than this property.
It's 20 feet higher,
yeah.
But it'd still be impacted, I think, with the runoff.
No.
You don't think so?
Because
if it pushes out from shore... Oh, well, I guess the house that I was looking at was lower.
You're talking about the
existing big house.
This one right here, the house over here.
Yeah. The west.
Are we going to show it?
At the end of Shore Road.
It's 180 feet, so the elevation is hard.
Let's put that aerial up, maybe the...
Sorry, you're saying to the left, which I'm assuming we're looking at this.
Well, it's space in the house, you know, I probably should have qualified that.
The one that's at the end of Shore Road.
That is the one I'm referring to, yes. That is, and that, how close is it to that dwelling?
That one, I don't have an exact distance, but I can tell you where we're at.
Thank you for helping me clarify that. Right and left. We could have been here all night. Yeah.
Well, I do wish that this were shown, but these greater lines are off now. What happens here?
It's at least 120.
You're saying house to house?
Yeah, we're over 70 feet to our property.
Because the way that the grades are going, you know, that it runs this way and this way, right? So the grade is just going to run in two different directions. So I just wanted, I'm asking if. Question just for a point of clarification, since there are two different runoff locations, and I don't see any runoff calves, I don't see the steep slope calves, but now I'm just kind of curious, because if the allowable steep slope areas, if the total square footage is different based on Mr. Romeyer, I'm just kind of curious about these numbers. So just point of clarification for the drainage, you'll protect that the dwelling that you're building. Is there anything in place that's going to protect the neighbor that is down the slope?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is basically the drywall would be in the front yard area.
Correct.
So the entire roof is going into that drywall.
Mm-hmm.
The driveway is going to be curved to go out to the roadway.
Understand.
And that inlet is north, closer to that house that was going to be next day.
But the house is lower than that inlet.
Correct. But the idea is basically any water that comes off the driveway area would basically come down and get into the inlet before it gets to the house.
I think in theory it sounds wonderful. I just know, and you know, to the point of one of our fellow citizens, is that, you know, nature is unpredictable.
Sure.
As is soil, as is the slope. And I'm just kind of curious, like, the slope is, in you know, my humble opinion, it's not stable, and we're creating additional instability by not only putting this dwelling very close to the slope, but I really just want to make sure that you're thinking through the drainage portion of it, because at the end of that is the Henry Hudson Shell, and the Henry Hudson Shell does receive a battering. I mean, I live at the top of the hill, and I try to, everything I do, I try to do diligence to provide support to, you know, my neighbors. And when I put something in place, I want to make sure that I'm doing it to protect them as well. And I would be concerned if I was living in that house that the drainage would ultimately impact me. I mean, unless I don't have the numbers to show me otherwise, and so I just need.
My suggestion, Brian, before you, is that if there's concern about the drainage, my suggestion is that we don't finish tonight. We come back with a drainage plan that shows you exactly what's happening, like an individual plot plan for this home, so you all understand and your engineer is satisfied and you have calculations. You didn't hear any of my numbers. But that's obviously a material issue that we probably want to see, and we have no issue providing it.
Sure.
Can I need to see the aerial shot back up again? In comparison to the neighboring homes, would this be, this proposed new construction,
be the only house, or the closest house to the steepest part of the slope?
No, the house that she's referring to at the end of Shore Road is actually further down, closer to the river, let's say, than we are to the bay.
If I could just give you, I'm sorry to interrupt, a little direction on a redesign. I have significant concerns with drywell systems on the top of the slope, close to the edge, right? USGS closely monitors this slope. They've issued several reports, and they have found that concentration of stormwater runoff, concentrated injection into the hillside itself by way of drywell or similar features have been known to create the slip conditions that we're specifically looking to avoid. So while I recognize they are great for offsetting runoff in other parts of the state, right on the top of the hills is really not appropriate.
Okay. So we'll push it up to the south side of that.
No dry wells.
Do we know where the...
okay. All right, never mind.
Do you know where the existing drainage discharges to from shore?
Yeah, there's a, on the west side of Shore Road, there is a basic drainage ditch that runs all the way down from there. Correct.
And where is the septic tank location?
The septic would be on the south side of the house, closer to the, basically between the two lots, the two proposed lots, away from the slope.
Could you speak to the type of heavy equipment that would be required to, like, place the pilings and the septic system, et cetera, on that
sure,
property?
Sure. Yeah, basically it's just a drill rig and a backhoe.
And then with regard to the utilities, you stated that you'd have access. And where do you intend to bring the utilities if it's water coming in? I see the area. You're going to use Shore Drive?
Yes.
Off Shore Drive. So you have permission from the other owner, or you will have permission?
Well, we can bring it down within the grass area that's on the east side of Shore Road, and that's in current 8.01 that we have to traverse to meet.
Mr. Chair, I know he's going to ask whatever other questions you have or the public has, but we're going to definitely come back with more detailed drainage plans, with no dry wells, I guess. So you may want to tell us your concerns.
Yeah, we'd rather hear your concerns. Yeah,
we're going to need to provide more detailed testimony on that.
Well, I think it might be a good idea to give Mr. Romar.
Yeah, I agree.
If he can continue with your questions and concerns right now, then we'll bring it to the board.
Thank you. So, just to recap, to this point, some additional clarification on how the lots were previously configured, sizing and transfer of property, how we got to where we are today. We talked about the location of the home itself relative to the slope. The stormwater management component of the site is critical to get additional information on. Some of the neighbors within proximity to this property actually hard pipe their drainage down to the bottom of the slope, went to a stable spot to avoid any concentration going overboard. So if your design includes discharging at the top of the slope, I'd be interested to see the condition of the swell itself that's conveying the water down. Is it riprap lined? Is it in good condition? Is it eroding? Some good photographs of that would be important. Again, the limited clearing, I'm not sure if that was clarified on the plan specifically.
Yeah, we'll clarify that. As we indicated, we'll give you a full plot plan, AC, of the build-out of that lot, so you see exactly what's happening.
Those are the major items at this point, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
That's the one thing, sorry. The reason why we have the house on the side it is because we have the septic on the opposite side. Thought was I didn't want to have the septic near the slope, just for simple reasons. I think that makes sense. I just want to make sure we're, I guess, all on board with that.
And how about geotechnicals? Like,
yeah, we'll provide the geotechnical.
Because, like, I'm going to be honest with you, that, like, this map that was provided, the steep slope plan.
Mm-hmm.
The intended structure is right on the steepest part of the slope, so which means that.
Well, it's
if I'm reading it correctly, right? You're going to have a pile driven into the top part of the steepest part of the slope.
It's actually 10 feet in from that. There's a 10-foot cantilever. That's what's shown basically at the top of the slope.
It's still very close.
Very close.
Yeah, it's still very close. Yep. So the 10-foot doesn't give me comfort, but
that's what I mean, like a little bit more.
It's a slam dunk away.
Geotechnos where it can indicate to us that, like,
the drainage and the stability of the slope is probably a key component here. And I think the architect testified to the bedrock earlier, so I'd be interested to see if the
location.
I just took a
borings
around, down the path, kind of looked up, and there is slump that's going on. Like,
there's, sure. It's all over.
Yeah. So,
and it's not just like one construction effort, it's multiple. And when they're combined and we're not taken into that consideration, then we do see that failure, and the failure creates failure on the trail. And the trail is, it's important to the community. It's part of, like, what we pride ourselves in at the waterfront. We want to utilize it. And then whenever it was knocked out during Sandy, how long did it take to get fixed?
Years.
And there's,
yeah.
And I don't know why Shore Road was vacated by the borough, but I have a feeling that played a part.
There's a road that's very similar where I am, and it is closed off, and it is vacated as well, and it's because it's damaged beyond repair, and it's because of erosion.
Keep pouring money into it. So, like, it's like Mr. Romeyer said, USGS is there frequently. Maybe some kind of report that can let the board know that further construction in that area is viable.
But also considering, like, this summer, the rain events that we had that were just unbelievable volumes of rain that is becoming more and more prevalent. I don't know that the data or the historical data that we have is even sufficient to anticipate the future precipitation and water that we're dealing with.
Well, the homes that were impacted on the slope, mm-hmm. that the retaining wall collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's an excellent point, too. If you would, when you do look at the slope, if you would check for any retaining walls that are put in place by neighbors that are trying to protect themselves, to see that any of the, if, when diverting the drainage, if it would impact them.
Sure.
Something else, too, related to these topics, because you'll be resubmitting it. So I have not never been to the site physically. I'm only seeing pictures of it, from what was presented in this application and through Google Maps, which aren't Google Maps. It's not great, right? So I would like to understand, I know per your plans, one tree will be lost, but also, almost more so, I'd like to understand what the existing vegetation looks like. Will brush be cleared, ground cover, that sort of thing? Because those do really help with erosion. They help to stabilize the slope. And then also, so I know that you'll be submitting a plan that shows where gutters lead to and whatnot. But I think, you know, pertaining to the storms that we've had recently, you know, we know that, like, rainfall and runoff from roofs isn't 100% caught by gutters. So, like, what's under the drip line? What is right under that cantilevered, I think it's a deck or whatever, a second floor that's coming out? You know, is it established vegetation, like something that could absorb whatever's, like, falling down? You know, just, I'm just interested to see what's under it, where's it going to land, how's it going to further erode things, just to be able to lessen the impact of downhill and downslope.
Or provide a planting plan as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not like what you're going to do, but even what's existing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just one more thing regarding the maintenance of the former Shore Road and the agreement. It says here, it is understood and agreed that a diversion of stormwater into the existing Type B inlet on the portion of Shore Road that was vacated shall not constitute a material increase in stormwater runoff. So if your drywall is going to be tapped into that, that's, you know, if there's any overflow from the drywall going into that inlet, you're not meeting the agreement.
And for clarity, I guess even just for the board, so this portion of Shore Road, it's pretty much the same as the north side, whatever, the uphill side of it, right? Like, it's like a common driveway. Is that right?
That's essentially what's being used as now.
Okay.
Right away.
It's like how you use your road next to Colangelo. It's like a cutter.
That's my driveway.
Common driveway. Okay.
Nancy, what does the December docket look like at the moment?
We may not have enough time for that. Let's,
okay.
Let me ask you a reverse. Yeah. How much time do you need, Brian, to design this? And then,
okay.
I'll be ready.
While he's doing that, Mr. Chairman, one thing that wasn't discussed, I think it would be beneficial to the applicant to discuss the requirements under 4055D36. Which is this going to be able to accommodate firefighting vehicles? Is this going to, the roadway going to be able to accommodate emergency vehicles, other emergency vehicles, ambulances? I know there was a discussion about there was a
hammerhead turnaround.
I think it would help the board to know what the dimensions of that drive is all the way down. It looks like it fluctuates. It's hard to tell on this plan. It doesn't give you the dimensions and see where this hammerhead is, how far it is from the proposed building, that kind of thing. I think the board would be interested in hearing.
So the answer was no way in December.
Yes. I should have known better.
So, and then you're going into a new year with a reorganization. So probably, I don't know if you can carry it to the new year without your schedule, or we could re-notice for whatever the date is. I don't know if you have hearings on the reorg dates.
Well, I think we can at least carry it to the reorg date, and if we're not going to be able to hear it, we can announce it.
Okay. Good. What's the date of that reorg?
Not July 4th.
Or January 4th?
Not July 4th.
Not July 4th. No. I think it's January
4th. July would be enough time. Yeah.
I don't know you'd get that like April runoff. I don't know if you want to send it those numbers.
Yeah, right.
Looking to see how the dates here.
And while we're looking at the dates, Mr. Chair, if we could, with your permission, open to the public for other questions of the engineer, just so we could deal with those as well.
Yeah, I think that's important. Do we have any questions from the public for the engineer? Sure, absolutely. If you could come up to the front, please.
I have a picture of that. I'm sitting around. And I missed understanding, are there four lots or two lots?
Two.
So 101 got turned into 3 and 4, is that how it works?
Well, 1 and 2 became 3 and 4.
Okay.
Two lots today, we're only proposing 2 lots.
And does this show what those lots are? It's very hard to make out the neighbors.
Yeah, it's on the minor subdivision, it shows the existing lot line. Mm-hmm. And then this, our subdivision plan also shows
This is the existing lot line.
Okay.
This is the, we're making a lot bigger.
Okay, so all the rest of this is still in the river?
That's correct.
And who is the Baker who applied for this? Do they buy this property on?
Yeah.
Yeah, Baker's own.
Yeah.
But they own that, so who owns this property?
Steve Smith owns that property.
Is he the sole owner of this property?
He and his wife. Yeah, he and his wife.
Okay, and can I have a photograph of this one? And will we be notified again of the next session?
Look, you're going to be notified this evening when it's being carried to, but you're not going to get another letter in the mail.
Apologies, but could you just repeat the couple of the variances that we have covered? The code and the requirement?
So we have a lot variance for frontage for lot 8.03.
Lot coverage, right?
Frontage.
Frontage.
Okay, lot coverage is you're not requesting a variance for lot coverage.
You want all the variances or just
just the lot coverage?
Just lot coverage, okay.
And the impervious
coverage. Sure, so lot coverage, lot 8.04, 12% is permitted. And with the steep slope ordinance reducing the lot area, we're at 13.5%.
13.5 versus 12. Okay, and
then
impervious coverage?
Impervious coverage, 30 is permitted. Lot 8.03, which is that existing house, is 65.5%. And lot 8.04, which is our proposed lot, is 53.5.
This is 30 and
14.5.
65.5 versus
63.5.
Yes.
Versus 30.
30.
Yes. Sure. I just have a quick question, because I don't understand the layout of the house. There's a foyer in the basement that is enclosed. Then there's a first floor, second floor, and then there is a loft. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how's that not 3.5?
Well, the two floors are stacked. The
first floor is the personal?
Yeah, you know.
The lowest level is an entrance from the garage.
And I don't know the loss. That is a half pad.
Not a basement. Not a basement.
This is like a percent. So I'm here to need to get my answer.
They can do it right there. That's all.
So this is simply a stairway that comes out of the garage. And then you have one, two, and then this is the loft, which is really included in that.
Is that stairway enclosed? Or
it is enclosed, yes.
And do you have to take the stairway to go to the loft?
You have to take the stairway to get to every...
To each floor. Each floor. The loft is just doesn't have to the floor by being in the stairway to get up.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Hi, I'm Sarah Colasurdo, 20 Highland Avenue. I think there was a question from Mr. Dougherty about Councilman Dougherty, about the construction. It was a pretty quick answer. I wanted to make sure I understood, because in some steep slope applications, there's actually specialist equipment used, and also during staging and lay down areas, those can be quite detrimental to the established vegetation that is there. So if we're talking about areas that are already pretty sensitive and we're concerned about any detrimental impacts to the vegetation that's there. I think it would be worth the public understanding next time around what your plans are for more of the construction sort of method. I think that would be useful to that outcome.
Okay.
Lori, before I forget, do we have any hands up on that? Any other questions from the public for the engineer?
Can I say one thing?
Of course.
Not the public. When this is resubmitted, I'd love to understand the lot coverage a little bit more. I'm confused, and I'm glad that Mr. Kraus brought that up with the numbers that are provided here for the proposed lots and the numbers that we discussed tonight. So, you know, I'm not requesting to get into it tonight, but just to a revisit and clarification.
Do you mean how the slope impacts the overall number?
Yeah, because I'm
just the percentages were different in the testimony versus what's in the application.
Everybody has a better understanding of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the R3 zone has its own restrictions, right? And then based upon the specific characteristics of the lot, the steep slope overlay further restricts the allowable lot coverage and impervious coverage. So it's two different sets of numbers. I would welcome some separation and clarification in a resubmission.
So I'll give the actual and then minus out the steep slope calculation.
Usually, the board is accustomed to seeing it presented both ways. So how does it measure up to the R3 zone requirements, and then with the restriction of steep slope, what's the impact?
Okay. Katrina, is that?
Yeah.
We're good with that?
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Murphy,
I'll resubmit a plan that has discussed that.
Perfect.
Cool. Here we go.
Just what is equivalent to what your briefing should be in the paper so that we're all checking.
You got it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, so Mr. Stack, we're going to carry this to the January 4th,
2024. So for anyone in the public who has an interest in this application, it is being carried to January 4, 2024, 7 o'clock p.m. in this same room. This is the only notification you're going to get. You're not going to get another letter in the mail. It's not going to be published in the newspaper. So be there at that time if you're interested in the continuation of this hearing.
January 4th works, yeah.
That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I apologize for my tardiness also.
No.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You got it. Absolutely.
So the existing house